We're hearing different scriptures today from different parts of the Bible. We do this during Advent because there is a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament that is generally really emphasized during this time of Advent. And the reason for that is because of the fact that from the beginning, when man fell into sin, God's plan was in effect, that he had actually planned before man and woman were born to bring a Savior and to bring Jesus Christ, his Son, to save us from sins and to give us this hope that we have today. And so we eagerly read the Old Testament and we search the scriptures just like the wise men did. And the people at the time of Jesus were all searching the scriptures and waiting for a Messiah. And when Jesus arrived, it was a time of great joy, but many of them were looking for a different kind of Messiah. And so it depends on how you look and are watchful for the Messiah. Many feel that it would be a much different kind of a Messiah, one that would come in power and in might and bring them power to, so that they have here on earth, that they have much more power for themselves. But actually the Messiah that was prophesied from the beginning was someone who was going to be much different. Right? And so we heard in Jeremiah words that were filled with hope as we have the first candle lit, and they exude this hope that is found in a God who is going to bring such goodness to us that we are overwhelmed, right? And so we come together today in the midst of a world that is really very dark and very gloomy, with earthquakes in the Pacific as of yesterday even. And this week, where there's, you know, major earthquakes going on and tsunamis coming as a result of that and threatening places that some of us are even from in those areas. And there's a tendency for us, when we live in a place such as we live in, to become detached. You know, it's so far away. It's not striking us. We're not the ones who are falling victim to that, right? When 9/11 struck, we were. You know, we were the ones who felt that nearness. And although it was something we would never wish upon anyone, it did wake us up, I think, didn't it? But then what happens after that is that people begin to fall asleep again, and they don't take notice of the things that are going on around us, so that we continue to pray and go into churches and seek God and answers and things like that. And the reason for that is that we are sinful. We're sinful people. We don't realize the importance of God in our lives. We don't take to heart these things as being signs that God is saying something to us and is truly following up on his words of being watchful. You have to watch out what is going on in the world. These are signs. These are not just merely things that happen to you and that you're going through, but you have to take it to heart. And not only that, but you have to take it to heart in your own life, in your own individual life. It's not that you just become more aware of evil in the world and then you start to feel like, oh, wow, that's true. You know, we really do need God. You start to look within yourself and you think, how am I living in these days? Am I living in an evil way? Am I practicing things that are not right with God? Right? And those are healthy ways to look at our lives and to be able to teach our children as well, right? So that they grow up with this kind of an understanding that we're born into this world with a purpose. Amen? I mean, as I was reflecting on this scripture today, I was thinking about it, and man, there's so many things that you could go into and talk about on so many different kind of levels, but really what I felt most of all that God was desiring for us to do today is to reflect on our own lives. Right? Our individual lives. Who are we and why are we here and what are we doing here and, you know, and why are we going to be, you know, continuing in our lives? Why are we spared of some of the things that other people are going through in the world? You know, the Bible is teaching, before we get to the part where we look at what Jesus is talking about, he told the disciples about tribulation that would be coming. And the signs of these tribulation were going to be earthquakes and things like that. There's going to be evil in abundance all around them. You know, there's all these terrible things that were going on at that time. And it's very easy for us to relate to that and feel like, okay, well, that's a word for us today. There's a lot of that going on in our world, right? I mean, we're very proud of New York City and we love the fact. And when you're growing up, you look at it with bright eyes and you see Broadway and you see the lights of Broadway and you see Times Square. And there's a lot of really great things about New York. I always felt like I never want to leave this area because it's right there, you know? But I have to say that I'm really, really concerned for the things that I see happening in this world. And I believe that that is what God is saying to us, is that we are to be involved in this world, at least in prayer, to be thinking about those things that are going on. It's easy for us to get a bus ticket and go into New York and enjoy ourselves, get it, see a play, have a nice meal, and then come back where there's safety. But meanwhile, there's lots, like hundreds of people living on the street without a home. Right? So the reality that we face is that one, right? How do we live in those kind of times? And how do we deal with those type of situations? Well, I think that that's what God is really going to be showing us in his scripture today. And it's a real hope. It's something that we're going to be bringing hope from because he is filled with hope. It's not a guilt trip that God is trying to put on us here with Jesus talking about these things. It's actually the greatest hope that we could ever have, that anyone could ever imagine, or maybe even more than that, right? So let me turn to 1 Corinthians first, since that was the first scripture read. And these two scriptures come from the lectionary, so it's in your weekly lectionary, and it's there for today. So if we look at these words of Paul to the Corinthians, and this is thousands of years ago, right? I mean, we're talking about a long time ago, and it's just like today. And that's the amazing thing. We look at our Bibles, and we have to really appreciate what's written here. And here's this man named Paul saying, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the way that Paul begins this letter to the people there. Now you imagine, you're getting this letter from him yourself, and he's saying to you, "I give thanks for you that you have a belief in Jesus Christ, that you have word, you have received the word about the grace of Jesus who loves you and is going to restore you and give you a life that is going to be born again so that you are free from sin and it is a free ticket into heaven. It's a gift, right? And thus we have the gifts at Christmas, right? To remind us that Jesus is the gift. And the children will have a lesson at Christmas, the greatest gift. He's the greatest gift, but we also have been given gifts, some purpose, right? Not so that we can say, "Wow, I love to watch that toy wind up and march around." That is a form of joy, but that's not the kind of gift that we're given. We're given a gift that is eternal, that is one that's going to affect lives with the gospel of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here. "You're not lacking in anything. We have everything that we need in Jesus as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that should get our attention today as we wait for the revelation of Jesus coming again, right? And oftentimes as Christians, we say, "I believe I am born again. I believe in Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. He's coming again." Right? So the idea of Christmas is twofold, right? In Advent, according to the lectionary and the readings that we have, there's two parts. First of all, we take joy in the fact that Jesus is coming. We do know that he is coming at Christmas time in the form of a baby in a manger. If you have time, take a look at one of the tapestries in the back that has a little manger on it. That to me is a beautiful thing. It is hope-filled. It is something that I've always seen and I've always appreciated as a little boy growing up. And that's why we have festive things in our church and provide songs and do plays and have the children involved and do all of these things because, it makes a difference in people's lives. It made a difference in my life that people, just like you, were over me in my Sunday school and introducing me to carols and dressing me up in a choir robe and getting me in front of people to sing the songs to the congregation. There were people that were teaching me in Sunday school about a Savior who loved me, away in the manger, singing that he was in a manger. I remember people singing music in our congregation, singing songs that they believed about, oh, little town of Bethlehem, about away in a manger, oh, come all ye faithful, and all these things that we're going to be doing and leading into Christmas. All those things have an effect on our life. It does not go quietly into the dust. It stays within us. And I know that you feel the same way. I know that you're affected by the faith that you see in other people, that you love this church, that you love coming here, because not because of the fact that it's a beautiful place, and it is, but because of the people here and their faith in Christ that has affected you and has shown you, yeah, this is a real place of truth. This is where people's lives come together and they worship a God because they're dependent upon him and they see that without him, they have no hope. That is really what we're all about here. Right? And we have an effect on one another and we have to continue doing it. And it doesn't matter how many children come. It matters that we do it and that the children will come, that God provides children and he's faithful and true and he hears our prayer. Be prayerful and watchful. That means have faith. Don't ever give up on faith. Right? You've got to hold on to it. And that applies when you leave this place. You hold on to faith. When something bad goes, you know, happens in your life, when something bad occurs in the world and things like that, we actively, watchfully turn in prayer to God and say, Lord, you have put us here on behalf of all these people that are suffering. We pray for them. We pray for them. We pray for their well-being. We pray, Father, we don't know how to do it because they live so far away in Malaysia and Indonesia and in Philippines and in Japan, and Lord, and there's so many lost people there. But we know that you're there and we know that you have servants there. And maybe, Lord, you're going to call us there one day as a missionary ourselves. But right now we do what we can, which is to pray. That's what this is all about, this hope that we have. It instills in us an activity so that hope is not merely a thought or a philosophy or a state of mind. It is an action, is an activity. It is real activity. It is doing those things that are set into our hearts through God's word and taught to us. And we say, we're going to practice those things. That is real hope because Jesus did that. And we follow his example. He came into this world and died, the Son of God, laying down his life so that we would live. And that is what we do as well. We give our lives to him. And so he's saying, who will sustain you to the end. You wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first lesson that we have today from Paul to the Corinthians is that a part of being a Christian, in addition to going to church and learning the Bible and praying, right, and accepting the gospel and being born again and knowing that we have a place to go, we wait for the revealing of Jesus Christ. That is Advent. We're waiting for him. So the Christmas time, we're going to be hearing lessons about the Jesus being born and all the things surrounding his birth when he came here. But we also, because of the fact that we know in our Bibles that he did come already, we set our eyes on his second coming. Now that is, I would say that would be a challenge for us sometimes. But just think about the people who were waiting for Jesus to come as a baby. Right? Think about them. They were exactly in the same position that we are in now, only they were looking forward to the first coming of Jesus. And so now we know that our Bibles teach us that he came, and we see that, and we believe that, and so we believe now what he said, which is, I'm coming again. And we will see him. And that will be it. There's no more story needed, that we are going to be in the presence of Jesus forever. Right? But we are waiting. We are waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ, his coming again. Okay, so that is one of the big parts that we want to remember here. Now, this picture, before I forget, we're thankful for Alfred and Pat for providing this artwork for us each week. And so we see these people here looking up at Jesus, and he's returning, right? He's coming as he said he would in the clouds. And then you can see that there are people here, and it's very effective Because if you look very carefully, you'll see that there were people that are dressed differently. And some of the people are dressed in the ways that we think of the people in the Mideast and in the time perhaps of Jesus, you know, the earlier fathers. But we also have people who are dressed like we are dressed today. And so there's all of this history that's going on of the people that are waiting for Christ to return as well as we. And I love that, you know, this concept of saying that we're all part of this history of those that were waiting for Jesus to come the first time. And then also being told by Jesus, I'm coming again. Okay? So, when we look at this scripture in chapter 13, there's a reason why Jesus is saying these things to his disciples. And it all comes out as a result of the disciples looking up at the temple in all of his vastness. Can somebody arrange for us to go take a trip and see the temple? I think there's a big model of it or some kind of a thing. You can walk through it in Pennsylvania or something like that. But it would be a really great opportunity for us to take a look at, you know, instead of saying the temple, we think of something that is like this big, but it was massive in size. And so the disciples are looking at this incredibly huge temple, right? And they're saying, wow, this is impressive. I never really noticed, right? Chris can appreciate architecture, right? I mean, when you see something that is so incredibly big, and I mean, it just took their breath away. And Jesus says to them, this is going to fall. It's going to fall into destruction. There won't be any of it left. It's going to be in pieces, right? And they were really shocked to hear that because they took pride in it and with reason, right? I mean, it was an important place in their lives on many levels, but they were looking at it and talking to Jesus, and he chose that moment because he was coming towards the place where he was going to die. And he said, this temple that you're so impressed with is going to fall. There's going to be destruction there. And so they're saying to him, when is this going to happen? Right? And he's talking about, you know, this in terms of preparing them for his revealing, right? For his coming again. That there's going to be an end to the things here on earth, and actually his body is the temple, right? He is the light. He is the sacrifice that took place in the temples. So he's going to be replacing the temple and all of its purposes, but actually he is the fulfillment of the temple for those people. But when he's talking to them, he uses the opportunity to say to them, listen, don't get caught up in the world that you're living in. And take this the right way. Don't get caught up in decorations and everything for Christmas. Right? You have to guard yourself and be watchful against that. It's great to do. I'm doing it already, you know. we're buying gifts and planning ahead and doing things, and you know, it's fun. But we have to also maintain a certain kind of a wakefulness, right? An alertness in our lives to say, okay, this is all good, but this is not the meaning of Christmas, right? The real Christmas that we know is one that is of deep value. In fact, it is of great longing. Like the song that Lee Chan chose for us to come into hope this morning was more, it sounded a little bit on the sad side because we're longing for hope. Right? But that longing in the Bible is something that is very real in our lives, and it needs to be developed. Right? You guys all have that longing in you in some kind of a way. You know, you're young, but you have a longing for something deeper in life. You want to do that. And that comes from God. It's a great blessing, right? He gives us this longing inside of us because we need him. We don't want to get caught up in the world and the things of this world. They'll never satisfy. They won't satisfy those longings. They will give a temporary relief to them. They will bring in a rush, you know, or a feeling of like, this is really cool and I love this. And God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the things that we have that he's given to us. Believe me, he does. But there is a longing that will not be fulfilled until we see Jesus return. And that is going to come. That is going to come. We are waiting, and that is what we need to do in this season, is to wait for Jesus. So very briefly, let's take a look at the scripture. There's a lot in here. But from verse 24 in chapter 13, real quick, part of preaching is I have a responsibility, and whoever preaches has a responsibility to inform and teach, right? And also to things in a way that is going to help people in their daily lives. But One aspect of it is that we are alert to how to understand the Bible. And the Bible is filled from the beginning to the end with teaching about the return of Jesus or the coming of Jesus Christ. And there's prophecies, and there are also teachings about the last times, the last days, that Jesus is teaching his disciples in this chapter. But in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is this teaching about his second coming, that he is coming again. Okay, so that is very important that we pay attention to that. And we teach that, actually, it should be close to the most important thing that we teach children. Right? It's important to know that Jesus died for us and that we are born again, yes, and that we are sinful people, but it is important for them to see Jesus as a reality that they will meet one day. Not just for us to read about or look at pictures that in the minds of men who have, you know, some image of what he looked like. It is a God. It is God that we are talking about here. And so they need to know they are going to meet God, and it's a glorious thing. So there's that scripture. In Corinthians, there's rich teaching that Paul does talking about the coming of Christ, the end days, and how we have to be prepared. There's also teaching in Thessalonians that he does very extensively there. It's a short book, but he uses this letter to teach them about the coming of Christ and the end days, right? So it's important that we identify those books. And then, of course, there is Revelation, right, which is often ignored because it's filled with symbols and there's some things in it that are hard to understand, but it deals with our future, and it's a revelation from Jesus Christ to his church. So we need to read those. So please, you know, look at me, be attuned to those sections of scripture in the New Testament especially, and that doesn't even mention all of the Old Testament, which is filled with teaching, like the book of Daniel. Daniel was a servant of God who was blessed by the Holy Spirit to be able to see into the future and to reveal things about the coming Christ. Amazing things, right? And it all came from his faith, right? And that's not all. It's in all the Psalms and more books in the Old Testament. So be alert to the fact that this is a big subject that we need to delve into and be ready to address. And so that's why we're looking at this today. In those days, after the tribulation, there's this hard time, this tribulation, a very hard time for believers in Christ. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of God in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So now you can look at this picture again, right, and see what it's talking about. When Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples were there watching him leave, the angel appeared to them and said, "Why are you looking up into heaven? Christ is going to be returning in the same way that he left." Right? Do you remember that? In the book of Acts. And Luke was the one that wrote about those things. Right? He was the one that wrote the book of Luke and the story of Jesus' birth the first time, but he also wrote about how Jesus will return in the clouds. And that was an amazing part of the disciples' lives, to be able to be filled with hope at that time. Do you see how God brings hope into those situations, right? They're saying goodbye to the constant shepherd and teacher and all different things. And then they look up at the heavens and they see him leaving, going and ascending into heaven, into glory. And there's, if it were I would be in amazement just even thinking about the fact that this man that was with us is now ascending into heaven. But then I would also be filled with some doubt, right? Why is he leaving us? You know, how is that all going to come together? What are we going to do now? Of course, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to them so that they would be constantly in touch with him through the Holy Spirit, and he was never really away from them at all. But the fact that he's coming again is written in the book of Acts, that he will come in the same way, and this is the way that we will see him. He will come in this kind of a glory, in the clouds, in that kind of a way. So we have this vision in front of us like that, and it really helps to have a visual like this. But with no sense of, you know, a lack of appreciation, this is not going to do justice to the way it's going to be that day. No one can do that. No one can fully appreciate in art or any other kind of way what that's going to be. When Jesus returns, you know, what are we going to be experiencing? And so what I really feel that as a believer in Jesus Christ and the things that he's saying in this passage, right, that we're going to get to, is that our lives have to be connected to him, right? They have to be fully connected to him. We have to have our eyes on him. And so this image today that we have here of his return needs to be really sure in our minds and our hearts. He's coming in clouds with great power and glory. Light, power, glory, the kind that only God has, right? That is the only kind that we can imagine there. And then he's sending out his angels to gather elect, the people that believe in Jesus Christ, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And there's going to be this time when everyone is gathered together there. Then he goes into talking about a fig tree, okay? He gives it a parable, and he says, you have to learn this lesson, and this is important. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. When we read these words and we think, okay, Jesus is talking to these disciples and he's saying, this generation will not pass away before these things happen. Obviously, these people that he was speaking to were not experiencing the revelation of Jesus Christ while they were still alive, right? They didn't see him coming back in power in that kind of a way. They did witness him leaving in that way, right? And the promise of his return, right? But in this kind of a case, I really believe that what God is and what Jesus is saying here is that this generation is talking about the generation of people that believe in Jesus Christ. Right? It was at that time, and it's also we who are sitting here today. We're reading these words, and they're meant for us. And that kind of a concept can be used throughout the whole Bible. People received a word from prophets. They read the Psalms that were written at that time that reflected their lives, but through the Holy Spirit and God's power, we today are spoken to as well. Amen? So it applies to us as well, and that is the beauty of God's word. But it also shows us that we here, being born into this world and being in this church today, are part of something that is history, that is happening right now, right, in expectation and waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so what are we going to do with that? Well, he says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So we can be sure that this is going to happen. Right, we can be sure that this is going to happen. And there are signs that we can pay attention to of these things. And he said the fig tree, right? He used that to be able to say it puts out its leaves, so you know that summer is near. So be attentive to the things in nature and how they teach you and reflect the things of the Bible and God's word speaking to you about life. And be attuned to the things in this way, just as he was teaching them to say, these are given to you so that you can understand what I'm saying, right? And so what does he go on to say? Concerning the day of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. I remember Peter Konopka came into my office and he'd say to me, how can that be? How can it be if Jesus is God, how could he not know? That really troubled him, you know, and so I said, well, that's the whole amazing thing, right? I mean that there is a distinction between the Father and the Son and the understanding between them. And he humbled himself to that great extent where he accepted the fact that only the Father knows the time of his return. It is mysterious. It is greater than our minds can take in. But we can be sure that there is a goodness in that, that there is an assurity of that, of the Son's humbleness before the Father. And in even mentioning that, it shows that his heart was one of servitude to the Father's will. And that led him to the cross, to die on the cross. He was the Son of God. We could say the same thing about that. He was the Son of God. Why did he die? Well, that's the whole thing, right? The beauty of Jesus is that he laid down his life. He didn't have to, but he willingly gave his life in obedience to the Father's will so that you and I would have life here on earth and into eternity. And so that is what he's saying here. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Nobody knows the hour. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard. Keep awake, right? So if you don't know when it's coming, I mean, we've been talking about putting our thoughts into words in the Bible study. And this is one of the ones that I, as a pastor, join in with all of you in, you know, trying to understand what this means and how we're going to relate this to our lives. But through the Holy Spirit's help, you know, we can understand that God is saying, don't get caught up in the thing like when it's going to happen. Concentrate on the now. Concentrate on what is going on in your life. Why are you here? You're here as God's disciples, to disciple other people, to bring them into the family of God, to spend your time, to talk to them and say, all these things that are happening around us today have a meaning. It's not that we welcome death and violence and all these wars and the destruction, but they are signs that have meaning when they are viewed through the eyes of Christ, right? And so when we have this opportunity and we see these things, we suffer with people, right? We suffer with people who are suffering, just like we were learning to be there for one another. We had an ESL class the other night, and we were talking about this whole concept of being tied together, loving one another, you know, belonging to one another, and wanting to help the poor and help those who are weak, right? And to count each other as being important. No one in the church is to be unimportant. And one of the people who happens not to be a Christian said, well, that should be the way it is in the whole world. And we are like, yeah, that's right. It should. But that concept comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from our Bible, right? That we are to love the poor, that we are to take care of people and to look after one another and to do these things. So that's what Jesus is talking about. Yes, to be on guard. Do I constantly look upwards? Yes, that wouldn't be a bad idea to look and see, is Jesus coming today? That is a wonderful thought. But to be on guard and be watchful, the way that we were talking about it, is to pray constantly, being watchful. So we're doing that. We're doing things that God teaches us to pray for this world that we're living in, to pray for one another, to pray to God when we have someone who's lost and is in need of salvation. We pray. We go out with the Word of God and we teach the Word of God as though our lives depend upon it and say, this is the truth. And you can see all of these things going on in the world around us. And that's what the Bible is talking about. Do you see that? That there are earthquakes and there's all these wars and the things going on. And Jesus is saying those are signs that his coming again is evident. And so he says, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midday, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. So this stay awake has, maybe we can have some more discussion about this too, and the implications of that. But to me, staying awake means to stay in the vine, to stay in Jesus, to remain in him, not to get caught up in all of the things that are going on in the world and to panic or to feel like, okay, there's no hope at all. But it is to return to the source of our hope and to remain in him. And Jesus taught us that, to abide in him in these things. It is not that we're saying that we don't become involved in the world. We do. Actually, we do more. We do more to get involved with the world, but we don't look at the world as though we can fix it. We look at the world as though God can fix it. And we bring the truth of the gospel into people's lives, and that is the thing that is going to make a difference in their lives. That is the thing that is going to, God is the one who is going to be able to change the hearts of people. Right? And that is our purpose. Jesus said this earlier in this section when he was talking to the disciples. Go out and teach people the gospel. That is what you're to do. And so he's not telling them these things that are happening and that are going to be happening so that they get caught up in that. And there are people who really love to get into those things, and the Antichrist and the threat of the devil and all of the work of evil in this world and all these kind of things. But in the Bible study today during Life Prep, we're going to be talking about the fact that God is victorious over evil. Right? That he brings salvation over evil. Right? But a lot of times people get caught up, and I see it all through society where people are being attracted to and attending movies that are all filled with gore and with violence and killing and using symbols that they read about in the Bible, and they take them and twist them and try to make them into some kind of an attraction. I remember when I was a kid, I went to a movie with Gregory Peck, and in that movie, it was a really spooky movie, it was demonic, you know, but the story was about this little kid that was overtaken by a spirit, an evil spirit, and had the number 666 on his forehead. So it was really taking a Bible, and this was a film in Hollywood, you know, where they're teaching this Antichrist is coming and they have to try to destroy him. But it really wasn't about a Christian view. It was just picking up on something that they read in the Bible to make some money off of and to scare people. But those are the kind of things that people are doing these days. They're spending more and more money on gore and violence and trying to scare people. And you go to a movie and, you know, wherever it is that you find these things, but they're all around us. You know, those are the things that God is talking about, that we will soon see the end of this world as we know it, because there's this focus on all of the evil and not on God. And his goodness comes into this at Christmas at hope and brings hope into our lives. And so we have to be aware of those things, and we need to be aware of the way that we're spending our time. And I don't want to go on too long, but my father told me one time, I may have told you this already, but I went to see a movie with Charles Bronson? Or anyway, it was a movie about a vigilante who killed all these people in the world because there was no law enforcement. And my father grabbed me and he said, "You're not going to that movie. You're not going to that movie." And I think that we need to also say that, you know, you're not going to that. You're not going to that because that is not something that is edifying. That is not something that we believe in. Right? You're not going to go into that website. You're not going to look at these things. You have to beware. You have to be alert. You have to be alert to see the way that the world is and the things that are going on here. And if it means that you're going to lose popularity and you don't get a rush off doing the other things that other people do, so be it, because this is more important. And we have to live out that example in the way that we live as adults. We have to be willing to turn away from things that are not of God. But the time is near. Do you get that? We don't have time to say, "My kid's all right." We don't have time for that, right? We don't know when Jesus is returning. It's okay to have that hope and to believe in the fact that someone is going to have hope. But why not act upon it? Right? Why not act upon it in some way and believe that God can use you as a witness, his disciple, to make a difference in someone's life so that they don't die? Right? So these are the things that Jesus is really calling us to. We need to be alert in the way we're living, that we are called to holiness and honorable things. And that was in the scriptures this week as well. That we want to be holy in the way that we live. We want to be holy in our mindsets. We want to give up the things that are filthy and the things that are contributing to our darkness, and to give up those things and to receive the light of Jesus Christ. We can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? But we need to take it to heart. Right? And I do believe that sometimes these kind of words are hard to say because people are going to look at you and they're going to roll their eyes, or maybe they'll act as though they're not listening. But that's exactly the way it was at Jesus' time when he said these things. Right? And so we're not surprised by that, but we need to really sit down and have heart to heart talks with people about this gospel and the second coming of Jesus. Amen. So what I would like to say in the end here is that this is a message of hope for Jesus, because he is coming again in glory and in power, right? And so when Jesus returns, may he find us being alert in the way that we live our lives, being alert by having no more to do with filth and things that are worthless for us to spend time with. Let us be alert in the way that we read the Bible in preparation so that we can share that gospel with other people that have no idea about what is coming. And there are people that don't know what's coming, right? And so let us be alert in that way. Let us also be alert with great joy and rejoicing in pouring out our praise to God, using our gifts for his kingdom, using it in the church to teach or to worship or to make music or to make art, or whatever it is that God calls us to. Let us be alert and watchful in that way, using those gifts. Let us be alert by being in the vine, by staying in the vine and not being attracted to a cult or to darkness or evil things. Even if it seems like I can take this, don't ever say that. Don't ever put yourself in a position where you can say, I'm strong enough, I can go see that film. You're asking for trouble. Be alert to those voices speaking to you about what's going on around you in your life. Give your life to Christ. If you're having trouble and you're struggling with him, tell him. But don't avoid him. Tell God what you're going through, and he will help you in that way. Be watchful in prayer. Be watchful, and you'll see how great his love is for you in that kind of a way. So that one day, when Jesus returns, this is what's going to happen. We don't need any Advent candles any longer. They're beautiful, and they're serving their purpose right now, but they won't be necessary anymore, because the light of Christ is all that we'll have. We won't need any sun. We won't need any moon. This is the Bible in Revelation. We won't need that. Hope, faith, and love, these three, right? But the greatest of these is love, so that when we see Jesus, the faith and the hope are fulfilled. And love is what we receive, all love in Jesus Christ. We won't have to try to have hope. We won't have to try to have faith. It will be there in the presence, in the face of Jesus. Amen.